that I conformed to her her ways, and she conformed to my ways, and more intimacy has developed, and especially over the last many years as we spent time every morning reading the Word of God together, praying together. That, she says, is it has brought the greatest intimacy of all. Friends, to know Him, that's our goal. That is our goal. Your gift of $15 or more to Save America Ministries will put Billy's book in your hands. If you want the special duo, $30 plus $6 postage and handling, you'll have to call us on that one, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Otherwise, you can get Billy's book right there on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org, where you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world.
Mike?
Even for the next year. It's right up there on the archives. Thanks for joining us. Remember, our goal is to know Him and that.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christian and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of the station you're listening to. They'll be my views, and hopefully for the next views, they're going to be next few minutes, they're going to be the views of Mike Zullo. We're going to be talking about the situation with Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona, and basically, of course, the fact that there's an organized effort to discredit him because he's trying to do a good job. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that certainly their sheriff is the highest elected official in any county, in any district in America. There are about a little over 3,000 sheriffs. Many of them, of course, have joined with Sheriff Richard Mack. And they, of course, are trying to address the issue, trying to establish local law, local constitutional law, and they can actually defy the federal authorities because federal authorities have no local jurisdiction except when federal crimes have been committed. And the difficulty is so much of what the federal officials are doing today is unconstitutional, and you have no rights at all. But if your sheriff believes in the Constitution, he can become your advocate. Well, Sheriff Arpaio there in the Phoenix area has been doing that for some time, and he's under attack today. Hopefully we're going to be able to get Mike on the line here in just a few moments. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we need to get you on the line. So need to keep filling until we get Mike back, but we'll be back in just a moment here.
Far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful.
This is Dr. Stan back here, and I don't know how many of you heard our interview this afternoon with Sheriff Richard Mack, but of course he has put together an organization with well over 300 sheriffs, pushing towards 400 sheriffs across America, who are joined together in certainly an organization dedicated to the preservation of our Constitution and our limited form of government. It's really rather exciting to know that there really are law enforcement officials who understand our Constitution, and there would probably be a lot more of them if certainly the They understood, but you see, the average law enforcement person really doesn't understand the Constitution. And your job is to get to teach them. Well, right now, let's go to Mike Sulu. Hi, Mike. How are we doing?
How are you, Doctor? Good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with us and good to have you with us. And why don't you tell us just a little bit about what the problem is and what is happening to Sheriff Arpaio?
Well, Sheriff Arpaio has come under a lot of attack. About 21 months ago, Sheriff Arpaio commissioned Cold Case Posse to look into a fraudulent birth certificate situation involving Mr. Barack Obama. Sheriff Arpaio was petitioned by 250 concerned citizens that the document that was proffered by Mr. Obama to the world as being his official birth record was in fact a tampered with document, and they were concerned that their voting rights were going to be infringed. So Sheriff Arpaio contacted me, asked me to come in and speak with him.
Hold the thought.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
To Stan, and certainly our guest is Mike Sulu, and Mike has certainly been a homicide investigator in both certainly New Jersey and in Arizona, and basically, of course, he is at the present time working with a special posse that has been created by Sheriff Arpaio there in Maricopa County in Arizona, and basically, of course, Mike was called, Sheriff Arpaio called him in some time ago and asked him to look at a file on Barack Obama, the president. There had been some question as to whether the president's birth certificate was legitimate. And Mike was asked to look at it and basically determine whether there was any reason at all to believe this might be fraudulent. And certainly Sheriff Arpaio thought that it probably all this talk about the president's birth certificate being fraudulent was incorrect, and he really wanted to clear the president, and then we could go ahead. But as Mike began to look at the file and look at the information, it became very obvious that the birth certificate offered by Barack Obama, by the President of the United States, was not legitimate. And so that takes us to where we were. Go right ahead. Well, Mike, when you called Sheriff Arpaio and told him that certainly the birth certificate was not legitimate, there were serious questions. What was the basis of that decision, and what did Sheriff Arpaio say?
Well, when we started to look at the CDF file, it was immediately brought to our attention that the document was layered. In other words, the document wasn't one-dimensional. It actually had 9 layers.
No. Basically, what you mean is that basically this was fraudulent, that a birth certificate is written on one piece of paper, and you're saying that this document had 9 layers to it rather than one piece of paper?
It had 9 layers. It never started out as a piece of paper. It was an electronic file, and it's been built in a computer. It is a image that was created. And our conclusions were that the image was created with only one intent, the intent to deceive the unsuspecting public.
Well, basically, of course, when the President Obama was born, they wouldn't have had the computers. They wouldn't have the ability to build that sort of a document, would they?
No, they wouldn't. It was done, in current time right now. It wasn't done in 1961. They had no ability to do that.
All right, science. So basically, you have found out that the birth certificate that has been the long-term birth certificate that the President of the United States has submitted to confirm the fact that he is an American citizen, was born in the United States, was fraudulent. What happened at that point?
Well, at that point, we continued our investigation further and made 2 trips to the state of Hawaii. We attempted to verify the authenticity of that PDF file that should have been issued from the Department of Health in Hawaii. Department of Health in Hawaii personnel, especially Dr. Alvin Onaka, who is the state registrar whose stamp appears at the bottom of that image, had given to verification, refused to speak with us. And subsequently, we were given a 20-minute meeting with a deputy attorney general from the state of Hawaii, who refused to verify for us that they, in fact, created that PDF file. So the problem is, if the state of Hawaii did not create that PDF file has no business existing. And that would entail it being a manually created fraudulent document, which is not only a felony in Arizona, but it's also a felony under Title 18 of the United States Criminal Code. You can't possess or create these kinds of documents. So we have a major problem here. We have a fraudulent document that is resided on the White House website, and it was put out to the world, it was put out to the nation, it was put out to Arizona by a press conference where the president is attesting to this being his birth certificate, and that document was shown across the nation. And you can't take a fraudulent document and portray it as being something authentic without committing a felony. So we have a felony. And that's really the bottom line with this. It's a felony to create this type of document.
Well, do you think that the president wouldn't be in a position to create something like that, obviously, with somebody on his staff who did. And basically, there was a serious question whether the president really would qualify to have run for the presidency. You have to be a natural-born citizen to run for the presidency and be elected president of the United States. Now, apparently, he claimed that he was born, certainly, in Hawaii, but all they had was a short form. And when, because this became an issue, why, of course, then immediately why we had this long form issued, and when it was pointed out that this was fraudulent, immediately they suddenly found that they knew where Osama bin Laden was. They sent a team over there to kill Osama bin Laden or capture him, and basically we don't know exactly what happened. We do know that most of the members of that SEAL team that killed somebody that they said was Osama bin Laden, died mysteriously following that in plane crashes and helicopter crashes. And the commander, the SEAL team commander, died under very mysterious circumstances, 24, 25 people. So, but basically, of course, that certainly took our attention off of this claim that the and apparently you have actually investigated this, that the birth certificate is fraudulent, which means, of course, if that is true, then President Obama is not the legitimate president of the United States. But that has terrible implications. Is it really that important at this stage, Mike?
I think it is important. I mean, let's just go back to some of the things you just said. This is the individual that has the ability to send our men and women into harm's way. This is the individual that signs pieces of legislation into law. This is an individual that has actually stood up there and said he's going to fundamentally change the United States of America. Well, that's all well and good, providing that you were duly elected and that you have the ability to do that because you meet the criteria. And the fact that the birth document itself is fraudulent doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't qualify to be president. What it says is, somebody went out of their way to create a fraudulent document, and the big question is why? What could be on an original document if it does exist, and what were you trying to either conceal, change, or add to an existing document? What's the embarrassing factor? If we are going to work from the presumption that there is a real document, which I don't really believe there is, but if there is a real document, what was so onerous on that document that you couldn't show it to the world? You know, it would take you 30 seconds to take a still photograph of it and upload that to the White House website, and it would be a one-dimensional document. Somebody had to go through the painstaking length of getting other birth certificates to scan into computers to pull information out of, create those into layers, give you a background layer. The last layer is number 9, and that last layer is the green safety paper background. They had to go to the task of creating all those layers, put that green safety paper background on top of this image, and give it the impression of being legitimate. And the big question is, why would anybody do that? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, when you actually talked to this high official over there in Hawaii, did they admit that they had not actually issued that birth certificate to you?
They would not. They would not admit to it. They kept hiding behind their state statutes, claiming that we were asking for a verification and we had no legal right to ask for that verification. But as fate would have it, our Secretary of State in Arizona requested a verification of the document. And the day after we knocked on the door trying to talk to Mr. Onaka, they finally released a verification letter, which took 3 months to get. But in the verification, it was not a verification of the creation of that PDF file. All that verification said is, in the document provided by our Secretary of State, there is information on that document that matches what's in their record. It doesn't say they created the document. It doesn't say the document is legitimate. It doesn't even refer to the document. And that was the question that was asked. Can you verify that this is a duplicate of what you have in your original file?
Would they let you see the original file to verify it?
No, okay. They will not. No.
So basically, somebody's covering up information. And basically, as a homicide investigator, as a criminal investigator, why this certainly gave you serious reason to be concerned. If you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, an awful lot of people have died under very mysterious circumstances under the Obama administration, I would simply point out. Isn't it strange, certainly, that so many people on that SEAL team that apprehended Osama bin Laden, that they've died under mysterious circumstances? Isn't it strange that this young man, who was a friend of one of the Boston bombers, Sydney, was attacked the were told to attack the FBI. And so they shot him in the back of the head a couple of times. And then the two FBI agents who were involved both had a mysterious accident. They were simply propelling out of a helicopter by rope a couple of days later, and both of them fell to their death. Ladies and gentlemen, this sort of thing gives you an uneasy feeling that we're not getting the truth about lots of issues. And certainly I'm not saying President Obama is involved in this personally, but I am saying that certainly we have to ask what in heaven's name is going on, certainly with the federal system at the present time. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, I think a lot of that stuff is highly suspicious. I mean, when was the last time you heard of the United States military?
Can you speak up just a little louder? We're getting...
Sure. I think it's highly suspicious. When is the last time that you heard of a United States SEAL team losing 21 of its members in a helicopter crash? You know, when has that ever happened? You have all these circumstances, all these deaths surrounding, you know, information about this individual or certain things taking place surrounding this individual. I mean, that's highly suspicious activity. And I think we're sitting here with a fraudulent document that actually is the linchpin on this whole scam and actually has the ability to unravel a lot of this, but nobody in Congress wants to deal with this. Nobody wants to hear about it.
And certainly Sheriff Arpaio has actually come out and made the public statement confirming your findings, hasn't he?
He has. He's given two press conferences, which were blocked out past Arizona. If you didn't live in Arizona, you couldn't see those press conferences. The national media would not pick up on them. And we also have a certified forensic document examiner who has just issued a 40-page report for us confirming our findings.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mike Sulo, who is a member of a special posse appointed by Sheriff Arpaio there of Maricopa County in Arizona. And basically, they've come to the conclusion that the birth certificate, the long form birth certificate posted by the presidents on the internet was fraudulent. And certainly Sheriff Arpaio didn't start out to try to prove this, but this is what they have proven. And they have a number of documents. And nobody in Congress has the courage to address this issue for whatever reason. And neither John Boehner nor any of the Republicans seem to want to bring this forward. And of course, all you could do is ask for an independent evaluation. And if this is a fraudulent birth certificate that has been posted for the American people, this, I would suspect, would be a criminal act to create a fraudulent document and present it as a legitimate. Well, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. If you have a question for Mike. And Mike, how long have you been involved in this investigation? And where do we go from here?
Going on 21 months now. Like I said, the investigation is still ongoing. And Sheriff Arpaio.
And can I keep speaking up because, of course, this, go right ahead. Just speak right up. It sounds great when you do.
The investigation has been going on 21 months, and it continues.
Okay.
Not closed yet. But Sheriff Arpaio, like I said earlier, is trying to get the interest of some congressmen to at least look at the information that we have.
All right. Now, my understanding, though, is that the government is retaliating by bringing all sorts of charges against Sheriff Arpaio, claiming he is being discriminatory, certainly that he's using racial discrimination. It would appear that Sheriff Arpaio is coming under tremendous pressure because he had the audacity to look into this issue. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, there's no conclusive proof of that, but I think that's a pretty fair statement to make. I mean, Sheriff Arpaio is one of the last of the standing old-time lawmen. You know, Sheriff Arpaio was a federal agent, a DEA agent, for 30 years. Sheriff Arpaio believes in the rule of law. Sheriff Arpaio enforces the law. And what does Sheriff Arpaio get for enforcing the law? Criminal investigations by the federal authority. You know, they hate the fact that he enforces our state's immigration law. You know, they despise him for it. And they launched a three-year probe into Sheriff Arpaio, and they came back with egg on their face, with nothing found and no charges filed. How many millions of dollars did they waste on a probe that went absolutely nowhere?
Well, of course, when we read about this in the newspaper, they tell us all these terrible things that he's done, or at least that he's charged with being done. But then, of course, those people who listen to this program know why, of course, the media is tightly controlled, rigidly controlled. And most of what you read in the newspapers and hear on television and radio just isn't true. And that's why we have alternative radio. That's why we do interviews like this. This is why I do 5 hours of talk radio a day, to bring you the news, certainly behind the news, the story behind the story. As I like to say, the information that Rush Limbaugh is paid $50 million a year not to bring out. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295, and we have Mike calling from Fenton, Michigan. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, you're right, Dr. Stan. We won't ever hear anything from Rush Limbaugh like that. But, yeah, for your guest, I'm kind of wondering, the question is, do you think that if he would lie about being a United States citizen, don't you think he'd lie about that they got Bin Laden. I don't understand how we could have killed 3,000 people and then we can't produce the body. That just is the fishiest thing to me. I'm just not really falling for that.
Okay, fine. Well, Chris, I don't want to get off on a lot of other subjects. Want to stay on this, but I share your concern, Mike. Anything else? Do you have a specific question on this subject before we let you go?
Yeah, I just turned the radio on. I didn't really know what they were talking about.
Okay, basically we're talking about the fraudulent nature of the long-term birth certificate that was posted on the Internet by the White House, supposedly confirming the fact that the president was born in Hawaii. And, of course, when Mike, who is a trained investigator, homicide investigator, has worked in police investigation for many years, when he went through the long-term birth certificate, he found out that it was a layered. It was actually created on a computer. Now, remember, when the president was born, back suddenly in 1961, there were no computers. However, what they're presenting today is a computerized birth certificate laid out in layers, and obviously it's a fraudulent, it's not what it purports to be. Anyway, God bless it, Mike. Thanks very much for calling.
Hey, Dr. Stan.
Yeah.
Dr. Stan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in 61 myself, and my birth certificate is yellow, and it's about to blow up and fall apart. So, you know, you wouldn't even recognize the birth certificate, you know, if he had the original.
Okay, fine. You know? Well, thanks very much for calling, Mike, and we'll be back. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden, all heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Longevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730. And ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, we have Tony calling from San Jose, and Tony asks if the sheriff or Pio could actually bring charges against the president and filing or submitting a fraudulent birth certificate. And Mike points out that the sheriff cannot do that. The sheriff can only bring charges. And this would, anything charges were actually to be filed, basically it would have to be done by the attorney general. And certainly our Sheriff Arpaio certainly does not want to rush into anything at this time. He'd like to get Congress to handle it. But Congress is frankly afraid, and of course John Boehner is playing his part very well, but I do not trust him personally. And basically, he is leading the Republicans, and we seem to be losing on instance after instance after instance. I wonder why. Under any circumstances, apparently Sheriff Arpaio is going to, for the time being, try to get this handled by Congress. And if that doesn't work, and then Mike, you pick up the story.
Yeah. Taking it the congressional route, Congress has the ability to act on this swiftly. If we were to say, let's get an indictment, charges were filed to get an indictment, this would get tied up in state court for probably 2.5 to 3 years, at which point a lot of games would be played, and eventually it would get remanded to a federal court where it's going to get tied up even longer. And obviously, once, you know, the term is over, the term is over. And there's going to be no interest in going further with this thing. So the sheriff feels that right now the best course of action is to see if we can enlist some help from Congress and see if we can do something along that line. If not, if it comes down to filing charges, you know, I'm going to have to be candid with you. I'm going to be in for a very long, protracted fight going forward with this. There will be legal stalling, legal maneuvers. Things get remanded here, remanded there. I mean, it would be a very long and tedious process.
Does that answer your question, Tony?
Does it need to be a federal attorney general, or can it be a state attorney general that files that can be in a grand jury?
It could be a state attorney general. The obstacle that you're going to come over there is against standing. What state has standing? Now, Arizona would have the best standing because we had a non-verification of a document. But that also is problematic in a sense, too, because that puts this right back into the state of Hawaii. Hawaii had an obligation to advise our state attorney general that the document was not something they created and they didn't do it. So we have a lot of steps to overcome here. And going forward, the best kind of grand jury we could get would be an investigational grand jury with a special prosecutor. With that kind of grand jury, you have compulsory powers to get evidence and have people actually sit in witness chairs and testify. That would help us further the investigation and help us get the information that we so desperately need but can't get to because of certain stonewalling and other practices that are taking place. So an investigational grand jury would be, you know, the optimal result in that venue.
And let me tell you, Tony, that there's a lawyer, her name is Dr. Orly Taze. We've interviewed Orly a number of times, and she's brought a number of lawsuits in various states on the same basic issue of the illegitimacy of President Obama's claim that he's a natural-born citizen. And basically, in all the state courts, they said they have cases are brought up, and they buy off the judge. And the judge simply says, no standing, this, that, or the other thing. And she's done this in a dozen different states. And in these instances, they purchase the judges. We have some of the finest judges money could buy. Anything else, Mike? Anything else, Tony?
I just read that Orly Taze got the microfiche from some college that supposedly the president usurper went to. That he was a foreign aid student from Indonesia.
Right.
But I wanted to ask about what is going on in Alabama, if your guest knows, as far as with that in the Supreme Court there. I've been reading some various things off and on about Judge Roy Hand, I believe it is. Do you know anything about what's going on there?
In reference to what, Tony? What's this about?
It's involving Obama and this certain... in the certification process, and they've been I've been reading that the Alabama Supreme Court is involved in this and has been asking for documentation.
Mike, do you know anything at all about Alabama?
You know, I don't know the intricacies of the case. I was asked.
You kind of speak right up, right into the Skype. Go ahead.
I don't know the intricacies of that case. I was asked to provide an affidavit for the Supreme Court review, which I did. Now, whether they're going to allow that in as evidence or not, I don't know. But it was in response to an amicus brief that was filed by the Alabama Democratic National Committee. And we'll have to see what happens. But as far as the intricacies of that, I really don't know.
Okay, Tony, does that answer your question?
Yes, very good. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much. Good to hear from you, Tony. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And basically, because there are people out there trying to get something accomplished, but there's nobody, absolutely no one in Congress who has the courage to take this up. Why? Because there could be serious political and personal implications and complications and consequences if you were to challenge the current president of the United States, who would appear at the present time to be above the law. He's making all sorts of independent certainly decisions. Certainly, Congress doesn't want to do anything about global warming, about pollution, about geoengineering. And so the president is going to simply go ahead and do these things irrespective of the law. He's going to do what he thinks is best. He is the authority for the country today. And the difficulty is most of the people in Congress and the Senate are quite frankly afraid to do anything. And I think that Sheriff Arpaio is a very, very courageous man. I think that Mike Zullo, who's our guest here, who's been helping to evaluate this and accumulate evidence, is a very courageous individual. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are certainly serious personal consequences that can result when you take a stand in an issue such as this. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here at the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But we do know that Dr. Orly Taze, and we'll have to have her on again, is certainly pursuing this, and certainly the Obama administration sends out legal teams on a regular basis to counter the suits that she has filed. And in each instance to this date, of course, why? Of course, the case has been thrown out of court. Doesn't have to have a reason for it. It's just thrown out of court. And fortunately, we seem to be turning away from being a nation of law to a nation of we seem to be living in a post-Christian era today. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Mike, what sort of response do you get from the people in Arizona? Do the people in Arizona really understand what's going on? Or do you have a very effective a media blackout there like we have here in California on most issues?
We have a pretty severe media blackout here. This information gets out through the secondary media sources such as yourself. People involved in the Tea Parties know about what we're doing. But I have people that literally live down the block from me don't know this is going on. And it's a sad state of affairs when you don't have a free press. You know, when we were doing this investigation, we discovered from the federal government that there is no vetting of an American president by any of the security branches, if you can believe that. They don't vet this individual. There is a vetting process which is done by the Constitution, the media, and the loyal opposition. Well, we know what they did to the Constitution. We know the loyal opposition doesn't really have a voice anymore. And we know that the media is in the bag for this gentleman. So you didn't have a vetting of this guy. This guy actually is sitting in the White House, and nobody can tell you who he really is. It's a sad, sad state of affairs in this country.
Well, basically, of course, we hear suddenly that I think it was Columbia. He went to one of the major universities, and where he was actually the head of the local newspaper. And yet the people on the newspaper never saw him. The people in his class never saw him. Whatever university it was almost as if he was there. He suddenly got his degree. but nobody ever saw him. And suddenly, it's the strangest thing. It's almost this very, very intangible story about a young man going to college and graduating from college, and none of his classmates ever saw him. So there's a lot more to this story than we know about, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and Micah Zullo is certainly doing the investigation. Now, do you have a team that's working with you, Mike, or are you doing most of this on your own?
You know, in the beginning, we had a five-member team that their activities were basically suspended after our first initial press conference. It's basically me. At this point, there are, you know, people that I call upon every now and then for assistance, but it's been a one-man show for a good number of months.
Well, we do hope, of course, if anything comes up, that you'll always feel free to give us a call. And certainly, you know how to reach us. If you don't, why, it's radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and we'll always be glad to put you on. And we do have not simply one, but we actually have four networks that we do. Right now, however, we have Ron calling us from Eastern Washington. Hi, Ron. How are we doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I'm very disappointed in my elected representative. I've voiced some concern about the executive branch, the fact that not only do they ignore the law, they break the law, and we're not a nation of laws unless the laws are enforced. And all I get back is some form letter that doesn't even have even address the subject I was bringing up. And then the representative says he's monitoring the situation. In other words, he's gawking. I said, I don't need a gawker. I need someone who's going to go out and hold people accountable. If you don't hold them accountable, then we don't have a rule of law anymore. We don't even have a civilized society. And that angers me very much. And there's not much you can do, you know, if he's on the, quote, other party. From the sitting president, you'll almost have to take over that party as well, to even get a voice.
Well, Ron, I know your frustration. How would you respond to Ron, Mike? So you've been on the front lines of this battle for a good long while now. Ron is a teacher in Washington. We know him, a regular caller, a very articulate and very outspoken individual who is deeply concerned about what's going on. What would you like to say to Ron from Washington, who is voicing concern that when he contacts his congressman, he is totally ignored by the congressman for all intents and purposes? What would you tell him?
Well, I have to agree with him. The rule of law in this country is being flushed down the toilet. And it seems that today you can do all kinds of ill will towards other people and get a pass on it, especially if you work in Washington, D.C. I think the biggest problem that we have here is an educational problem. We were sold a bill of goods. We were dumbed down in our educational process. We were put into learning environments where socialistic ideas were taught to us, amongst other things. It was mixed in there. You really didn't realize it was happening for a good long while. And then it becomes the norm. And part of those teaching tactics are to dumb down our understanding of our forefathers, dumb down our understanding of our Constitution, make us look at our Constitution like an outdated document. And if you go back in time, you can see where, yes, there were Republicans and Democrats, but everybody was an American. And the Constitution was actually the glue that held the two-party system together because it was the foundation. And we had differences on some things, but we always had that foundation. Well, that foundation is crumbling. And today people don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand the premises that it was built on, and they certainly don't understand the sacrifice. And that goes right up into Congress. They don't get it. They think that we should have a living, breathing constitution that changes at our whim. And it was never designed to do that. There's processes to change it, but they decide whether we can legislate it away. We don't have to go through the amendment process. And when you have a government that works like that, and when you have morality ripped out of society, our type of republic does not work. It can't work. Our founding fathers told us that, that it was developed for a righteous and moral people. And when you start losing that morality, that love for one another is gone, this system collapses. And I hate to tell you, but that is exactly what's happening today. And there's a document you can go out and find. It's on the internet. It was put into the Congressional Record. It's called the 45 Goals of Communism. And in that, you can check those off one by one, and you can see the dire straits that we're in, because they've just about achieved all 45 of them. And doing away with our Constitution, doing away with our oath, our pledge to our own allegiance of this great nation, that's all in there. If you look at that document, you will be petrified.
Well said, well said. Ron, do you have anything you'd like to say before we let you go?
All I can say is amen to your guest, and that's why I ran for public office, and that's why I'm continuing to run.
Well, I hope that you'll continue running, and basically, of course, give us a call. We'll get you on as much as we can. Always love to hear from you. Parting thoughts before we let you go.
Well, I just one thing. Our laws are supposed to be in accordance with the laws of nature and nature's God, as stated in the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence. Laws of nature is reality. Laws of nature's God is biblical morality. Any law that doesn't agree with both of those principles is invalid.
Yes, I agree with that.
And, of course, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to pursue these rights, why governments are instituted among men, deriving their authority from the rights of the people. God bless you. Thank you very much, Ron.
God bless.
Okay, fine. Well, I guess it's Mike Zulu. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Mike is on the front lines of this battle. Been doing a great job for a number of months now. And certainly with the backing of Sheriff Arpaio, they have pretty well documented that certainly the document that was posted by the White House, the birth certificate of the president, is fraudulent. And if it's fraudulent, then fraud has been committed. And that certainly the president, under those circumstances, is not authorized to be in the White House. And most of what's going on certainly is unconstitutional. And so much of what's taking place today. Certainly, Mike, do you have anything else you'd like to say before we let you go? Hold just a moment here.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what we sell. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. Judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and we do hope that you enjoyed the conversation with Mike Zullo, and because you can get his website on the internet, Mike Zullo, Z-U-L-L-O. And basically, of course, I think that they need all the support we can give to them. And you need to understand what Mike said during the break. And that is that if we're going to solve this problem, it's going to have to be on our knees, ladies and gentlemen. And Mike recognizes this is a spiritual battle. And it is a spiritual battle. And we have to recognize that there are demonic and satanic forces, Luciferian forces out there that are in complete control in Washington, D.C. today. But the average individual doesn't understand what's going on, nor that certainly the Supreme Court and other government agencies are simply carrying out a Luciferian agenda. Why do you think, of course, we've certainly legalized certainly same-sex marriage? Do you honestly think that God approves of homosexuality? Basically, of course, you have to understand that the homosexuals are not behind what's going on today. There aren't enough homosexuals out there. It is the Brotherhood of Darkness that's pushing this. Why are they pushing it? Well, they want people in homosexuality. Why? Because they die young. They die in miserable deaths. They die in revolt against God. They do not have children. And basically, one in three lesbians is going to suddenly develop breast cancer, in contrast to one in eight normal women. But they never tell the women going into homosexuality that. Certainly, our homosexual men are going to contract all sorts of diseases and die 15 years younger than people in the general society. And if you hate humanity, why you'd be pushing the homosexual agenda. And that's the real force behind it and the power of the homosexual movement. Watch television. That's not their power. That's not their people working in the media. That is, of course, the Brotherhood, which works behind the scenes with an intense hatred of humanity because humanity was produced by God. Well, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, we recommend it to you, but I want you to know that when I wrote the book, I did not realize that AIDS was a man-made disease. Certainly, we actually have my talk on AIDS, pardon me, on Agenda 21, the covert plan, AIDS, Agenda 21, the covert plan. It's an excellent DVD. Lots of information, has an excellent syllabus that comes with it if you want to get that. And they're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand the very real threat of an EMP attack, which I fear God may bring upon America as a means of bringing vengeance, why, of course, you can get either the 4-CD set or get the DVD, The Threat of an EMP Attack. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you will certainly go to our website, radioliberty.com, where you can actually watch our DVDs. You can certainly read our newsletters. You can listen to our radio programs. I'm certainly live 4 hours a day and then certainly archived 24 hours a day. The information is there. We need you to help us get it out. And then we need you to tell other people about our ministry and to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. that's being waged on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, and educational battlefield, but it is primarily a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And we're losing that battle because the other side controls the media. Now we do have, of course, the alternative media. You have to be careful where you go. But there's an awful lot of great information out there. And yet, of course, they will have all sorts of disinformation there intentionally to mislead you from the truth. So basically, of course, remember our website, radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. And we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
A land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean, white with gold.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Christians and Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you of the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And well, hopefully, in a few minutes, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. For those of you who don't know Barry, he was an investigative reporter in Israel for about 30 years. He was moved there, but of course, because he was getting too close to the devil's heartbeat, Wirehand was exposing the corruption at the highest levels of government and the murders and other things taking place. Why, there were threats against his life, and he was forced to flee to America. And, of course, Israel's loss is our gain. Now, Barry still writes articles that are widely circulated through the Internet over in Israel. He writes books that are circulated in Israel. But we try to have him on a regular basis here to keep you abreast of what is going on in Israel, because most of our listeners are Christian. And we sense that certainly Israel plays an important part in God's plan for the world at this time in history. Barry Shamish, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. Look, tonight I'm going to be translating from Hebrew. Look, Peres had his big birthday party. I spoke about that last week. $12 million. Bill Clinton showed up and told Israel to go to hell. I'm telling you that he said that if you don't give up the West Bank and go back to the old lines of 49, well, you're not going to get peace. That was one surprise. Barbara Streisand sang Hatikva. That was the other surprise. All of Israel was supposed to be celebrating, but all of Israel wasn't.
Now, for the listener out there, Peres, of course, is the current president of Israel. That's different than the prime minister, who's Netanyahu. But the president is sort of a ceremonial job, but actually, of course, Peres has taken lots of additional power unto himself. He's 90 years old. He's a very evil man, and he is certainly one of the most powerful men in the world today. We'll be back right ahead, Barry.
Sure. I'm not sure what "will be back" means, but sure. Look, I receive, you know what, a strange, I still have my sources, and they do send me information that, truthfully, your audience doesn't hear about. All right, leave it at that. I still do have my ties. And, well, now get ready. This is a complicated story. But the day of Peres' 90th birthday, Rabbi Uzi Meshulam died. Now, let me explain who Rabbi Meshulam was. During, believe it or not, the coincidence is incredible. During the Oslo, formulation and then the curse on Israel, he was demanding the truth about, I hear music.
And he was demanding the truth about the fate of the Yemeni children.
He was a Yemeni.
And basically, of course, this is a group of children, about 4,300 children who were actually stolen, kidnapped from their parents, and went taken to the hospital. The parents were all told they died. And these children were actually taken and sent to America, certainly for experimentation. This was done back in the 1950s, somewhere there.
Perez, 48 to 54.
Right. Sidney Perez went ahead, coordinated this whole thing. He was going to get some concessions for America for kidnapping these children. And basically, of course, the parents were told, oh, they all died. Ladies and gentlemen, this is criminal activity. But that is simply one of the things that Perez has done. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, Rabbi Meshulam led the movement, and it was getting powerful. Look, the number was 4,500. Most were taken to America in a deal organized by Shimon Peres. He was then the head of the Atomic Energy Commission of Israel, and he wanted the bomb. And he told the Americans, look, I'll give you access to an entire human group that you can do whatever you want to. In short, they tested them for the effects of radiation, and they died in agony in America. That's the Yemenite children's story in a nutshell. There's a lot more to it, but I think, in retrospect, I took the initiative to visit Rabbi Meshulam at his house. He may have actually invited me. My memory's got a little hazy, but
how long ago was this, Barry?
It was before he went to prison, so it was in 97, I would say.
All right, fine. And of course, Rabbi Meshulam was a Yemeni rabbi trying to find out the fate of these children. The parents wanted to know. Here it was. It's just 47 years after, 50 years after a lot of these children had disappeared. And basically, of course, it is so the average American could not believe that we would have people working in our government who would actually experiment on innocent children and kill many of them. But that's the reality. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, in fact, you did. The Americans were found out and had to cancel. They got prisoners. They got a ton of blacks. They experimented in 48. By the way, it's 65 years, if you want to be exact, since the kidnappings began in 48. But nonetheless, the Americans ran out of victims, and Peres offered them a whole race, the Yemenites. Just do whatever you want. We want the atomic bomb. That's what he said. And he got it, by the way. Israel, the Americans sent to Israel 7 X-ray machines. That was a different experiment. That was on all the Yemenite children that Peres, well, what can you say, he murdered.
Hold the thought there. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry certainly tells the story of the Yemenite children. There were two basic horrible atrocities. One was the ringworm children. They were experiments done on well over 100,000 Sephardic children. And the other was the Yemenite children, about 4,500 of them, who were actually kidnapped from their families. Now, remember, these are certainly a specific type of traditional Jews. They were Yemenite children. They were kidnapped and taken from the parents. Their parents were told they died, and they were sent to the United States to be used in radiology or radiological experiments. And of course, then America was going to get Israel was going to get the bomb, and America got 4,500 children to kill. How many of them do you think they killed? How many of them do you think that they survived the experiments that were done? Do we have any idea?
A number were put up for adoption. A lot of Holocaust parents couldn't have children, and surprise, you have a child. By the way, the head of the Israeli Supreme Court, Miriam, it doesn't matter. My memory is what it used to be. Her daughter was so obviously Yemenite. If you couldn't have kids, well, the government would supply you with a Yemenite. And you didn't know, by the way, you didn't know that it was, it was an illicit kidnapping. That's where you got your kid from. There were those. And by the way, just to let you know, the government registered them as dead. But they missed some 80 kids, they weren't registered. I assume they were the adopted ones, okay? I think about 80 were adopted, and the rest were sent to America, by the way, in cages. I'll go through that shortly. They were just shipped like animals to America.
And basically, of course, then that this is all covered in Barry's book, The Stinger, Not the Stung. Is that right?
It is partly covered in The Stinger, Not the Stung. Essentially, I opened it in my book, Save Israel. But look, Rabbi, I went to Rabbi Meshulam's house. Oh my goodness, what was that neighborhood? You know, my memory is not what it used to be. I've had a lot of experiences. All right, I went to his house, leave it at that. It was shot up. There were bullet holes. I count, it was in the neighborhood of 60 that I counted bullet holes in his house. And by the way, one died. One of Meshulam's followers died. He was left to bleed to death. The government put together a brigade, honest to God, more than 1,000 police and soldiers surrounded his house. You didn't have that in Lebanon, okay? I have never, in my experience, I have not been involved in a 2,000-man operation to kill one rabbi. And what was his crime? He wanted the truth about what happened to his people. And that was the rabbi, Uzi Meshulam, the Yemeni rabbi, died for that. Let me go through this. His son, I saw his son. He was 12 when I was there. He lives in Canada now. He ran from Israel. The threats, look, his father was sent to prison. We'll talk about that as well. He came home a zombie. He lay on his couch for 20 years, not opening his mouth. It was an awful, awful, awful story, and I was an eyewitness. Look, after I visited, and I was aghast by this. By the way, while I remember, the person who died was Shlomi Asulin, age 18. He was taken to the police lines after he was shot. He bled to death. He could have been saved. There are so many bad sides to this thing, this raid. and it hasn't gone away. The memory hasn't gone away. And again, I'll dive into that as well. But I received a phone call from Rabbi Meshulam's wife, and she informed me that the rabbi wants to meet with you. He, by that time, he and eight of his followers were sent to prison. And one of the followers was a Shabak Secret Service agent. So let's say seven were legitimate. Look, I went to the prison. You know, I suppose you know, but the frisking and all that stuff, that's normal. What wasn't normal, I went down three flights to the dungeon. That's where he and his followers were being kept. Now, there was a visitor's cell. It wasn't, you know, a piece of glass and you on a phone talking to him. I spoke to him head to head, person to person. He came into this cell. Well, what can you say? He had a music box. He blasted it so we wouldn't be overheard. Needless to say, they were listening. All right. Needless to say. And he told me one fact that opened up a lot, an awful lot of my questions, but his naivety. He was shocked. He said our children were taken to America to be experimented on. And, well, that was the fact that got me going. But, well, all I can say is he couldn't believe this kind of evil was done to his people. He was that naive. Now, he asked me, again, with loud religious music in the background, he asked me to be the spokesman for his movement. And look, I like the truth, and his movement was truthful. And he was truthful. And I said, yes. Now, the infiltration, I should have, but I didn't go through Save Israel and get every name. It's a complicated story, but his movement was infiltrated by a family. The son was in prison with him. He was the snitch in prison. His father was a university professor. The mother was the big mouth. She was the actual spokeswoman for the move. Well, she was Ashkenazia. She was European, not Yemenite, and she would not allow me to take over her position. She blocked it. And look, I got no support. The people were worn down. They were infiltrated. The leader of the movement was imprisoned. If you were too close to the top, you were in prison. I couldn't break through. I said yes to him, I would be the spokesman, and I would do more research. And this, it didn't do any good. They were thoroughly, thoroughly infiltrated by the Secret Service. Nothing I could do about it, nothing. Look, let's go backwards. Number one, Peres had his birthday last week. On the same day of Shimon Peres' 90th birthday bash, Uzi Meshulam died. That was far more significant, at least to me. I was, well, Zicharon Lebracha, or rest in peace. He was destroyed. And by the way, I was next. That's why I left Israel. I'm not going to dive into it, but what they do to an, well, you can call him a whistleblower. He was a rabbi serving his people. He wasn't a whistleblower. He wanted to know what happened to thousands of his people between the years 48 and 54. And that's why he died. No other reason. He wasn't a criminal. It's ridiculous to even consider him a criminal. But did he pay a price and all he did was demand to know the truth. Now, look, I'm going, a lot of your listeners don't understand this, but I'm going to do it anyways. There are many open questions, putting it mildly, about the disappearances of 4,500 children. Now, there was an investigatory committee, and we'll talk about it. It was the second one. It was in the mid to late 80s. It went on for about 3 years. I attended sessions. The fact of the matter is part of this. And believe me, I think it was an honest investigatory committee, but we'll dive into why they had no access to the facts. They did their best without access to the documentation. I hear the music again. I'll stop here for a second.
Well, I think it's very significant that Chris Berry is talking about how this movement to try to get the truth about the Yemeni children was infiltrated. Ladies and gentlemen, most of our conservative organizations in America are infiltrated. Most of our liberal organizations, most of our Christian organizations, people at the very top of both the Catholic and Protestant church are there. So the Pope Francis recently talked about the gay lobby operating at the top of the Vatican. And we certainly know about this. And Ted Haggard, he was in the head of the 30 million member National Association of Evangelical Christians. He was a pot-smoking homosexual.
While the storm clouds gather across the sea.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Barry Shammish. Barry, go right ahead.
Boy, that song went fast this time around. Look, this investigatory committee of the mid-80s opened the graves of the children, and they were empty. I'm not sure if that's shocking to you, but it was plenty shocking to, in the mid-80s, to the Yemenite community.
No, basically, they opened up the graves where these children were supposedly buried and there weren't any bodies. Is that it?
That's sure it.
That's right.
Look, I'm going to read from the Hebrew. Actually, it was sent to me before. There was earlier this year, okay, at Bar-Ilan University, there was a conference on the disappeared Yemenite children. It doesn't go away. You don't just have 4,500 kids disappear and think it's going to go away. It's still part of the dark side, really dark side of the foundation of Israel. Remember, these Yemenites came in 48. It was an operation called Wings of Eagles. Wings of Eagle, that was the operation. They sent planes to Yemen. All the Yemenites wanted to get out because of this sudden oppression against them. All through the Middle East, the problem was whatever. I'm not going to dive into the Holocaust. I'm going to stay on topic, but the labor Zionists didn't get enough Jews left. The Nazis were too good. They wiped out the Jews wherever they occupied. 6 million, about 100,000 survived. Weizmann, the first president before the Holocaust, said, well, about 2 million will survive and they'll be strong and good for Israel. Well, even this sick prediction didn't come true because the Nazis just killed. There were not 2 million. There were 100,000 where the Nazis occupied. That's it. Not enough to start a country. So a policy. Look, blackmail, bribes, the usual. All through the Middle East, suddenly there was massive oppression against the Jews. And then suddenly 800,000, Sephardim came to Israel. Somehow these leaders who were oppressing Jews didn't mind if Israel sent airplanes to their airports to get the Jews out of there. And, of course, the leaders got all their assets. Ugly, ugly story as well. But allow me to read from the Hebrew. Earlier this year at Bar-Ilan University, they had a conference on the Yemenite children. Hold on. Hanum Hayikot. The chief speaker was Dr. Dov Levitan. Now, get ready for this. He was involved in the, well, he was involved in the government in the mid-80s. Leave it at that, okay?
Hold that thought, Barry. We're going to be back here in just a moment with, well, this is Dr. Stan and Barry simply talking about the fact that this is following the World War II, there were not that many Jews left over after the Holocaust, so there was not enough to create a new nation. So they set out a course of persecution throughout the Jewish communities in the Near East and the Middle East. And in Yemen, of course, there was tremendous persecution against the Jews. So they were willing to pick up and then go to Israel. Well, of course, by between 48 and 54, why suddenly they simply, these children would go to the hospital, they'd be kidnapped in one way or the other. And then the parents were told that they were dead. Well, down the line, certainly in the 1980s, they did investigations. They opened up the graves where all these children were, and there were no bodies in them. Of course, they'd been kidnapped. Some of them had been distributed to Jewish families in Israel, where the people could not have children. Others were sent to the United States in cages to be experimented on. And people say, nothing could be this horrible. Well, of course, you just go up on the internet. Fortunately, you can get the truth here. And you can read about the Yemeni children, put in Barry Shaman's Yemeni children, and get the stories because they've actually had investigations over in Israel. And Barry was just telling us about this one university where they had an investigation.
Bar-Ilan.
Sort of the story of the Yemeni children. Pick up, Barry.
Yeah, Bar-Ilan University. Earlier this year, another conference. Now, again, Dov Levitan, he announced, surprise, surprise, certainly not to me, but it made the news big time in Israel, that Shimon Peres, he was the prime minister again in 85 for 2 years, 84 to 86, prime minister of Israel. The government was under pressure to finally investigate what happened to these children. By the way, that's when the graves were opened. And Shimon Peres did everything in his power. This is from Dov Levitan. This was his speech. Peres, all right, in Hebrew, Mana Hakamat Havida. He did everything in his power to prevent the rise of this investigatory committee, this authorized committee. That's what he did as prime minister. Why? Why? Now, I know the reason why, and it's kind of frustrating because all these speakers spoke, all right, so Peres was involved. Why? We don't know, but he tried to prevent it. The investigation. I know why he tried to prevent it. He was involved in a mass murder. That's why. Nonetheless, there was a cabinet minister, Yaakov Zur, with a little integrity. He went on with this investigation anyways. This, by the way, with no cooperation from the ministers who would know, at least in way back then in the 50s, that would be the police ministry and that would be the health ministry. No help from them. He couldn't subpoena them, nothing. But in his power. Now, here's the story that's actually tremendous. Because of the publicity, Cecilia Omassi, an Israeli whose child was kidnapped, was brought together with her daughter, Marga Leach, and they went to Israel where the DNA was tested. And by the way, they were twins. You couldn't in a million years say they weren't mother and daughter. They look the same. I met them both and interviewed them both. What did Israel do? Yeah, listen, Dr. Hiss, he was the coroner. He covered up the Rabin assassination and many other crimes. He conducted his own DNA test, mitochondrial, which was different than the one that Cecilia and Margalit went through. And with his mitochondrial DNA test, Hiss declared they weren't related. All right, the cover-up keeps going on and on.
Well, you see, it's very difficult for people to believe anything could be that evil, that they would kill all those innocent children. But basically, we can't let the American people or the Jewish people know what really happened or about the really satanic forces that are out there. But go ahead, Barry.
All righty. Look, Dr. Hiss, the same week as Paris's 90th birthday bash, he was honored by the Israeli Medical Foundation. Leave it at the Israeli Medical, Forensic Medical, whatever they gave him.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought.
While the storm clouds gather all across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Barry, you go right ahead.
You know, even relating this stuff, look, the Israel I moved to wasn't this. It wasn't this. I bought the a common story that after the Holocaust, the brave Jews fought for their existence and this and this, and I was proud. I was going to join the army. I did join the army. If I had known this stuff, boy. All right, I'm going over it. Let's go back to the report that I received again in Hebrew. This was not the first authorized investigation, and believe me, the Prime Minister Peres didn't authorize it, but Cabinet Minister Yaakov Tzur went ahead, and he. Well, what can you say? Margalit Cecilia Omassi, I met them at one of the investigatory committee's meetings. He opened the grave. Whether Peres liked it or not, there was an honest guy out there, but he had no access to the actual ministries who did the dirty work, and that's health and police. But there was another investigation, and it went on 67 to 68. It was the Frumkin investigatory committee. Now, by the way, I don't know if I should bring it up. It means a lot to me. Mr. Frumkin was the grandfather of Carmi Gilon. Carmi Gilon worked with, he was head of the Shabak, the Secret Services, in 95. He killed Rabin along with Peres. He was part of the plot. And the more I read this, that these guys, these plotters, these murderers, they're running the committees. But this, again, report I got on the Bar-Ilan University commission or day, they had 2 days, actually, where they discussed this. what they concluded was that, whoops.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamus. And Barry, before we go on, and we're just talking about the background of the investigation of the fate of the Yemeni children. They certainly don't want the Jewish people to understand that they killed most of these children, either that or gave them away to other parents. And certainly Perez was responsible, but he got the bomb, and certainly the Americans got the children to be used for guinea pigs. We wouldn't do something like that, would we? Or are there really evil and wicked people at the upper echelon of our government who would really go right along with mass murder of innocent children? And ladies and gentlemen, we've killed with abortion almost 60 million children in America. And suddenly
they were fetuses. These were real, live, living infants.
All right, fine. Well, let's just get back to the issue. Before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, your organization, how they can get your books, how they can get your writings, how they can get your PayPal button.
Fair enough, and thank you for that. But I'm going to stress this. You had to look them in the eyes. You had to steal them and look them in the eye. They were living. They were alive. All right. I think you understand where I'm, my point here. Yeah, my books are available at lulu.com. That's www.lulu.com. 8 of 9 of them are available just right in my name, Shamus. C-H-A-M-I-S-H. You'll get to the books. I guess Save Israel covers this the best until one book isn't on the list. Call this data bureaucracy to get to my new book, The Stinger, Not the Stung. You have to, well, after you've looked at the other books, you have to start over again. Go to the search box, write in Chambers, The Stinger, Not the Stung. And that's the latest information. By the way, get the black and white book. Color is so expensive on Lulu. My website, and Tom Mack is in the hospital again. And for all my aches, pains, operations, I'm afraid for him. So nonetheless, he is in charge of my website. That's BarryChamers.com. And there is a PayPal button. And I'm real, real grateful for anyone who supports what I do. By the way, folks, writers, I think I'm going to drop dead like Van Gogh and be recognized after I'm dead. You know, it's not an easy existence. So if you donate, I will personally be very grateful, and you'll find out why later. That's BarryChamers.com. All right, let's go into the first investigation, 67 to 68, the Frumkin investigation. Now, what the Bar-Ilan document does, well, again, I'll tell you, good for my readers. They supply me things that normally I wouldn't receive. What they wrote about this commission was, it wasn't allowed to see all the facts or any of the documentation. So imagine having no subpoena power. All right, you're investigating the Yemenite children without subpoena power, and well. They didn't get very far, putting it mildly. Now, just so you know, again from this document, the second Knesset in the year 1951, well, there was a lot of complaining about disappearing Yemenite children way back in 51. And that's 3 years after the operation began. And they debated whether to investigate. And here is the result. For those who understand Hebrew, which I think a few of your listeners may. The Shilton, the regime decided to not, Lo Potrim Tevat Pandora, we're not going to open a Pandora's box. Okay? That was the 51 attempt. The 67 attempt had no subpoena powers. The 185-86, well, that brought out Marguerite and Cecilia O'Massey. We finally proved, by the way, Marguerite lived in California. She was shipped to her new parents, and they raised in California. She heard about the movement. We won't go into it, but this investigatory committee reunited biological mother with kidnapped daughter. Right. It was, well, it was very moving. And they were nice people, I want you to know. Despite the past, they were smiling and they were nice. And I met them. And this committee in 85, 86 opened graves that were empty. Now, this is, I don't know why I went into this business. I honestly don't, but that's what I was doing in the mid-90s. Besides Rabin, I was also going to Yemenite demonstrations and learning. Look, this document from Bar-Ilan also contains the latest Yemeni activists. Call them activists. They want to know what happened to their children and grandchildren. Some activists, but the bitterness, the real bitterness, it hasn't gone away. Even time won't maybe time will work, but it hasn't worked so far. And you read quotes that the truth has to come out. It's ruining our culture. Look, and the cliche that he who controls the present will control the future, you know, that's not going to work on anyone involved in this god-awful crime. But the only one living that I'm aware of, you'd have to be in your mid-90s. Shimon Peres is 90. He was the head of the Atomic Energy Commission who arranged the kidnapping and murder of these children, and he's the president of Israel. Did I summarize that well enough?
He's the president of Israel today. Go right ahead.
Yeah, he sure is. And you know what? I should bring this up as well. I'm very, very grateful that I have people who send me things, all right? Ynet, Yedioth Ahronot, well, in my time, it was the biggest paper in Israel. I think it still is. They ran a birthday article, and someone sent it to me. Again, it's all in Hebrew. I'm not sure your readers, well, some must read Hebrew. Somewhere out there. Look.
Well,
up
I would say, I think the majority of them don't read Hebrew, but go ahead.
Well, they sent me the birthday piece, but that's not why. Dozens of comments about Paris followed the birthday piece, and they so influenced by me. Yes, he bribed the Nobel Committee. That's how he won the Nobel Peace Prize. That's me. I wasn't first, but I got it around, and that they're, quote, many unanswered questions about Rabin's assassination. That's me. But I wasn't cited. Nonetheless, I'm very grateful to have read this. My work is all for naught. It's unrecognized, I guess, but it's not all for naught. Now, I'm going to go on. I think I covered that as best I could. Paris and the Yemenites. And the, again, death of Rabbi Uzi Meshulam, same day as Paris was laughing it up in his bubble. Bubble. If you read the Edio piece, Paris has created a bubble. He's, well, the people of Israel don't admire him, and they don't admire Clinton. And just, again, dozens of replies to a birthday piece in the Edio, they don't like him one little bit and suspect the worst. Just know this, all right? Now, another thing happened this week, which I have written about. I wrote a book called Bye Bye Gaza. Again, lulu.com. And again, get the black and white. Color is a ripoff. And I'm saying that it's too expensive. Black and white is $20. Bye Bye Gaza. I covered it. As far as I know, I'm the only one who wrote about this. I was in and out of Gaza, well, until it was disengaged, all right? They threw all the Jews out of their homes in Gaza in 2005. And then the government opened up an office called the Tnufa Administration. I think office is a better description. Nonetheless, Tnufa means, though, to rise above, let's say. It's to rise above. That's what the government called this office, and it was tasked with helping the expellees to restart their lives. 9,000 Jews, also the four communities of northern Samaria, were disengaged by Sharon in 2005. Oh, these stupid Jews. All right, you know, I went to Gaza. I think my biggest speech in Israel was at a community center in Gaza. There were over 800 people there. And not only did I tell a highly receptive audience how Rabin died, and by the way, anyone who heard my speech, no one disbelieved, even the real skeptics from the left, ended up believing it when I presented solid evidence, film and paper. Well, I knew Gaza, and I told them. I went back the night before the expellation. They call it disengagement. I said, what have you got? Soldiers. Why are you letting them in their jeeps into your communities? Do you know what they have planned for you? It didn't help. It didn't help. Very, very upsetting and very actually depressing. When I, as I rethink my experiences, it actually doesn't make me happy that I was right. Frankly, well, I would have preferred to be wrong, but I wasn't. All right. The Tnufa administration, the head is, Rabbi Ophir Cohen, they closed down the office. No more can the expellees turn to someone after 8 years, no less. 8 years, these people were thrown out of their houses. Their houses were rubble by the morning. Rubble. Everything inside was rubble. Everything, everything. The Gaza Jewish community was also rubble. Well, Dr. Ophir Cohen revealed that it cost the government $2 billion to expel the residents. And believe me, $2 billion goes a long way in Israel. Maybe nothing in the States where you've got, you know, like $15 trillion in debt, but it, in Israel, that was a very expensive operation. Now, here is what he reported. As he was leaving office, as the Tnufa office was closed, he reported that, now here's a quote, 88% of the 1,404 families uprooted as part of the plan are now living in homes of their own, but or are in the process of getting a home. That's the big one. That the process is, they're a lot more in the process than they were living in their own homes. They couldn't afford new homes. They were still paying mortgages on their destroyed homes. Well, they're in the process. That's the majority of these Jews who were thrown out by their government without compensation. And Dr. Cohen continues that their absorption, quote, absorption in their new communities is ongoing. So we can't abandon them. So the housing ministry will take over for their absorption needs. Now in comes, this is the meeting that closes to NUPA. In comes the housing minister, Uri Ariel, who, by the way, I remember as a good guy. And there aren't many of them, but he was a much better guy than the most. Here's his, you know what? I'm just going to quote him directly. After years in which the state of Israel did not manage to keep its promise of a solution for every settler, the time has come to put an end to this ongoing wrong toward the expellees, he declared. No kidding. The housing minister realizes that throwing people out of their houses and leaving them homeless was a wrong. After 8 years, terrific. On we go. Quote from Uri Ariel. As someone who has closely followed the expellees, I accept the mission of finding a solution for everyone with a great feeling of responsibility. My goal is to ensure that everyone can finally enter their home, their new home. After 8 years, this is where the government is at.
But of course, they still don't have homes, and who's going to pay for them?
Many certainly don't. Look, what after the music ends, I'll dive into that a bit more.
Because this whole idea of expelling the settlers from Gaza was, well, now we can have peace. We'll just simply turn it over to the Arabs and we can have peace. And what happened? Well, they set up their missile bases and started using Gaza as a base for sending missiles into Israel. Well, Barry, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
All right, we had a good show, but I've got other stuff. Well, what the heck? These were the important topics. What is amazing about these Gaza, they had a very tight community, really, really close. And by the way, they turned sand. They put up greenhouses. They use the sun. You can't grow anything in the Gaza Strip. It's very hard. They made it flourish. It wasn't just the people. It was the life they put into making their community work. That's what disappeared in the expulsion of 2005. Now, what I got that I found amazing, and I was going to talk about the Palestinians not paying their electric bill to Israel, 200 million shekels. The Israeli government is so afraid of an intifada if they actually make the Palestinians pay that what Israelis have to do or their power is cut, pay the bill while the Arabs don't have to do. Or there'll be violence. So it's a really good strategy. Don't pay the bill. It doesn't matter. They're too afraid of us. The Gaza residents, there is a movement, these poor, deluded people, to put an end to the nonsense coming out of Gaza, which gets its electricity from Israel and isn't paying the bill, by moving back to their homes. oh, people, you're not going to move back to your homes. And what was done to their families with this expulsion, they were living in leaky trailers from their beautiful homes. Their children became psychotic. You have a problem you never had in a religious community. You had drugs. You had, well, felonious behavior. They ruined the children of these Jews of Gaza and Northern Samaria.
Well, it's a great tragedy, and certainly I suspect that the people, the Palestinians there in Gaza, are far worse off now than they were before. At least they had jobs before. We're out of time. Our guest has been very shamish. We've looked at the story of the Yemeni children, certainly the expulsion of the Jews from Gaza. We'll be look forward to talking to you again next week, Barry. Bye-bye.
God bless. I will. Bye, all.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope and grace that you enjoy our conversation with Barry Shamish. And you'll hear stories you'll never hear elsewhere. They are there on the Internet. You can confirm them. This story, the tragic story of the Yemeni children, 4,500, who were suddenly kidnapped, as many of them were killed, and some of them were given to other families, and then the ringworm children, over 100,000 children, who were severely radiated to see how much damage you could do with radiation. And basically, these were all deals done with the American government, who wanted to learn about radiation and its deleterious effects. And there were these people in Israel who really didn't care about these Sephardic children. And of course, the ringworm children were Sephardic. The Yemeni children are Sephardic as well, but they were one specific race. Two stories, heartrending stories, but we can tell you about all sorts of other things. We can tell you about the 6 million Russians who were rounded up at the end of the Second World War and sent back to Russia to be killed. Well, they only killed 4 million of them. The other 2 million certainly just could never get a job, and their lives were totally ruined. They were living in America, many of them, and they were rounded up. Of course, the Operation Keel Haul, you can look it up, you can find out about it. So many of these stories you'll never hear mentioned in the controlled media. Operation Keel Haul. And then, of course, Operation Paperclip, where we brought the Nazi scientists to America. The Rat Line, where we brought the Nazi war criminals to South America and funded them. Grey Wolf, if you haven't read Grey Wolf, the story of Adolf Hitler, and what happened to him. And you say, well, everybody knows he died in the bunker. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you're supposed to believe. You're supposed to believe what you've been told and programmed to believe. It's time you broke loose and began to think independently. If you want to know how we funded the Nazis, both before and during the war, John Loftus's wonderful book, America's Nazi Secret, and our 4-CD set of interviews with John Loftus, The War Against the Jews. The War Against the Jews. You need to get the information. You need to find out about Prescott Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, and perhaps the next president of the United States, Jeb Bush. Find out about how, when you go on the Internet, and I suddenly look up and you'll find Prescott Bush was indicted for helping the Nazis. Nothing as you've been taught to believe. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You certainly need to get our 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, and the book that goes with it, America's Nazi Secret. You certainly need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan. That'll give you a good place to start. There's so much else to get through my ministry. The books you're not going to get through regular channels. Operation Keel Haul goes into the Rat Line, goes into the bringing of the Nazi war criminals to the United States. But you see, nothing as it appears to be. Reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Well, Sydney, this is when I need to remind you my ministry is primarily listener-supported. If you're positioned to help us, we could certainly use your help to maintain the network we have across America. And basically, We're on shortwave, we're on radio, we're on the internet, we're on satellite. You can even get our afternoon program and listen by telephone. You can get us by iPod and iPhone, but it's all expensive. If you can help us, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you can't help us that way, we ask you to pray for my ministry. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because we are truly involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. There is an organized effort to destroy Christian civilization. America's on the front lines. We've already been taken over. The evil people control our government. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair, as we raise our voices in a solemn prayer. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with hope.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You're in the right place. It is Thursday, 27 June.